You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? We're here. It is us. It is the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. Welcome to a Thursday. Well, it is. It's always a Thursday edition. Welcome to the Thursday edition for this week of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. I'm Marcus Grant. That's Michael F. Florio. That is Laquan Jones. We had a little bit of a technical issue. We seem to have worked it out. We are here. So if you are hanging around, we are grateful that you stuck around. Otherwise, you know, it's archived on the YouTube. So you can come in and watch it there pretty much whenever you want. But fellas, we are 7 sleeps away from the NFL draft starting. Any big plans, anything, any superstitions, anything you guys are doing to get yourselves ready for this draft?
Man, it's unique for me. I got a first round pick this year, man. I'm going to watch day one. So I really don't know what to do with myself.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, huh? Usually you get to sit out
night one of the draft. Scroll Twitter, you know, the socials, and just see reactions of everybody else celebrating their first round pick. But man, I'm happy that we got one this year. So hopefully we don't trade out.
All right. The Bills do have a first round pick at the end, sort of the end of the first round. Which, look, I was gonna start somewhere else, but since we're talking about first round picks, Florian, what get you on this? Because Brandon Bean, general manager, says he does not believe that the Bills need a true number one wide receiver. Obviously, they have moved on from Stephon Diggs. I don't know, Florio, this feels sort of like looking around and seeing that the Chiefs won a Super Bowl without a true number one wide receiver and thinking like, well, if they did, we can do it too. But your thoughts on what Brandon Bean had to say?
I don't believe him. I think they can follow the Chiefs method and being like, we don't need a true wide receiver one. Like, there's no replacing Stephon Diggs for 2024 via the draft unless they make a Julio Jones type trade. But there's lots of guys who could contribute and be a very big piece to the cog. But what is Brandon Bean supposed to come out and say? Like, we traded Stephon Diggs because he couldn't get along with anyone in the building, and now we're super desperate for a wide receiver, and everyone knows we need one, so you're going to either ask for King's Ransom to trade up, or you're going to be jumping us. Like, I think he's just saying the usual GM stuff right now.
He could say that. I don't know how well that would go over in Buffalo, but he could come out there and say that if he wanted to. I know that we had sort of always been talking about the Bills taking a wide receiver in the first round. I guess that doesn't mean they don't take one, though, right? I mean, they can still get one, just not necessarily go out and try to get a game changer in the first round sort of thing, right?
I mean, I think there's a lot of wide receivers that, like, you know, I love Ladd McConkey. You know, I love Xavier Worthy. There's Mitchell that could be a good fit there. Some people like Keon Coleman more than I do. Like, there are lots of depth here. And one thing Brandon Bean has said is, like, this is the most important draft for outside of 2018 when they drafted Josh Allen. This is the most important draft because they have like 11 picks. They have a bunch of veterans that they need to replace, starters for years that are gone now. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they take one in round one and then later on in the draft take another one, something like that. But yeah, it's they're going to be in the market for a wide receiver. It's just a matter of when, I would think. And it could be multiple.
Yeah. I mean, at some point I think they sort of have to at least get a guy. Maybe they don't need the bona fide number one stud, and look, they're not going to be in line to get the top three guys, right? Harrison, no. Neighbors, Odunze will be long gone before the Bills are on the clock, and they're certainly not going to give up a whole bunch of stuff to move up and go get one of those guys. Which, speaking of moving up to get a guy, interesting story that popped up on my radar earlier today on Sportskeeda. This is from Tony Pauline, who is their insider there, saying Sean Payton might be ready to risk it all to get himself a top quarterback prospect. I mean, Laquan, we know the three at the top that are supposed to go, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whichever order you think two and three are going to go in.
Yeah.
So basically, this is a J.J. McCarthy move, right? That's what this is. Yeah. This is them going to go get J.J. McCarthy.
It feels a lot like that, man. And you have to fall in love with J.J. to be this aggressive with, you know, Denver not really having the tools and resources to go up there and trade a bunch of picks. So reading that article you sent, man, it's like Patrick Surtain dangling in front of people like, hey, we got Patrick Surtain with this package. But I don't even know if that's going to be enough. But if they want J.J., I can see J.J. there. There's some qualities that we spoke about on the pod yesterday where, you know, you can kind of fall in love with some of the qualities that he has.
I mean, it is the guy that I think most feels like a Sean Payton quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that I think most fits into what Sean Payton would want to do. You know, I'm sure he could not go wrong with a Caleb Williams or a Jaden Daniels, but that just doesn't really seem like his style of quarterback.
Yeah.
More than anything. But it does become a question of, do they have enough to move up?
Like, I think it would almost be malpractice, I think, to give up more draft capital after you had to give up draft capital 2 years ago to get Russell Wilson, after you had to give up draft capital last year to get Sean Payton, and then after you bite the bullet on Russell Wilson's contract, you're in the worst cap hell probably in NFL history that a team, and not just for this year, for next year as well. So you're going to give up even more to jump ahead of these other teams, and then you're going to take a quarterback. And you're going to tell him for the first 2 years of your 5 years that you're on the rookie deal, we're going to have no money and no other draft picks.
Sweet.
Like it just seems like a not great way of building a team.
And really no one to throw the football to, right? I mean, look, say what you want about Jerry Jeudy. He has definitely not performed the way people expected him to. At least you still sort of could squint and believe he was going to develop into something. Yeah, Courtland Sutton is, you know, had a nice season last year, but I think we all agree he is maxed out at this point. Yeah. Like what are you giving this guy, whoever this quarterback is, to throw to? It feels like a redo of Bryce Young's rookie year in Carolina, where the Panthers gave up everything and mortgaged the future to go get Bryce Young, and the first year was ugly because, I mean, he was, you know, throwing to the resurrected, you know, ghost of of Adam Thielen. I mean, that's really what it was. That's what I think this lends itself to. Yeah. If somehow this were true, right? And if somehow Sean Payton and the Broncos wanted to break the bank to move up and get a guy, what are you bringing that player into? And it doesn't seem all that great, really.
My other question though is like, okay, they have Patrick Surtain, great piece, but he's already, you know, it's not like he's a rookie coming into the league or something like that. Then you're gonna give up 12 overall. They don't have a second round pick. They have their third, fourth, and 3/5. But like, can you really make a better package than say the Vikings, who have 2 first round picks? And then if you are if you're JJ McCarthy and this is the quarterback that these teams are fighting over, you should be praying that you end up in Minnesota because better weapons, better long-term outlook, a great head coach there. So I don't know how. This feels like a little bit of smoke to me. I think the Broncos ideally want to move up and get a quarterback.
But they cannot.
But I don't think they have the capital to, and I don't think you're putting that quarterback in a position to succeed if you do.
Nope.
So basically it's good to want things, is what you're saying.
Just trade back, take Bo Nix like late first, and he could be your bridge guy. If it works out, you're golden. And if not, you're in the same place 2 years from now, just with more draft picks and more cap.
It is amazing how the swing and miss on Russell Wilson potentially is hamstringing this organization for I don't know how many years down the road. You know, like I will admit, I did not foresee the Wilson thing going as badly as it did. I still thought he had a little bit left, and we'll see. We'll see what happens in Pittsburgh. But you know, where they are in terms of their cap situation, in terms of the talent on the roster, they really are in a bad way. And, you know, it may take a couple of years to sort of dig out of that. Comment from Grayson Red in the chat. Peyton notoriously left the Saints in perpetual cap and roster hell. If I was the Broncos owner, considering their current cap and roster situation, I wouldn't allow Peyton to move up. I mean, no, I think that's a fair comment. I think the assets that the Broncos currently have wouldn't allow Peyton to move up. I don't think they have enough to give up. I mean, unless you're talking about giving up a couple of firsts, which, you know, leaves you short down the road.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a second in there somewhere. And I know that if they're dangling Sertan out there, I just don't know that there's enough out there that I'd be willing to give up to move up, especially for JJ McCarthy. It's not a knock on McCarthy, but we talk about him being a project, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm giving up all that much for somebody that's not Caleb Williams that I don't think is ready made.
If it was of the big three, then yeah, but we already know the big three are going to be gone. So I'm with you guys. I don't see it happening.
I'm not even sure that I would do it for the rest of the big three. I think for me, it's just Caleb.
Caleb.
If we're talking about mortgaging the future.
I'm a Jaden Daniels.
I'm about to say Jaden, man. It's need for speed. Speed demons over here, man.
I guess, maybe. I mean, we're talking about mortgaging your future. It better be the can't miss for sure. I know this is not going to fail guy. And I think Jaden Daniels is a good player. I think Drake May is a good player. Caleb Williams, to me, looks like the only quarterback in this draft that is can't miss, ready to go right now. That's it.
Yeah.
Question from Roman, which actually ties into something we were going to talk about here today. Can we discuss Royce Freeman? What's the vibes in Dallas?
The vibes.
You mentioned this, Laquan. I mean, look, we talked all offseason long, right? The Cowboys are allegedly all in.
All in.
And by all in, like all in the background, watching things happen around them.
Did they know the draft is this month? Like, are they still stuck in free agency?
I mean, they know free agency has pretty much come and gone, right? Yeah. Like,
still in the deep depths of, like, running backs.
All of the prime talent that was out there in free agency is gone now. I hope they know that. So they add Royce Freeman. I don't know. What does this do for you, OQ, if anything?
He's there to block. And honestly, he's a bigger back than, you know, the current guys they have. Rico Dowell's kind of a semi-bigger back, but they needed somebody that can come in immediately and protect Dak. Because honestly, they have holes on the offensive line as well. So you bring in a guy like Royce Freeman, who was decent for the Rams, you know, coming in as a pass blocker. I just feel as though they're going to have to attack this draft, and I think pretty early, to go get their guy, Jonathan Brooks. Or maybe they wait and sit put for a Trey Benson. Like, I kind of been patting the table if they do pivot from Brooks to go to Benson, but this just doesn't look good as a Cowboys fan when you see Royce Freeman pop up notification like, oh, we signed Royce Freeman, but you just might as well just bring back Zeke at this point.
Why not sign Zeke?
What are we doing here?
I agree 100% with that. They should be signed. But to me, look, if Royce Freeman signed with any of the other 31 teams, we don't talk about it.
No.
Like, it's solely... And the thing is, up until that point, we kept being like, look at the Cowboys' backfield. There's no depth. There's no experience. And so then they go out and they add a veteran body who could just be a depth piece on that. And we're like, look at who they signed. Like, they're going to draft a running back. I will guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And then their backfield a week or two... 10 days from now is going to look a whole lot different than it does right now. So, like, I saw this Royce Freeman news, and it didn't even move the needle an inch for me. I was like, okay, cool. They have another body on for camp. Like, that's what I take it as.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was like, oh, yep, now I'm moving Royce Freeman up my draft board. Like, I don't think that happened at all.
How different would this have been if they signed J.K. Dobbins, though? Because we saw him sign with the Chargers, too. I would have think that would have been a better option.
Bigger name.
Bigger name, yes. Better options. He 24 games.
Like,
he
it's 2020.
It's not even that. It's the type of injury, like Achilles, ACL. It is a hard road to come back from.
I mean, look at Akers. He's battling his second one, and he's a free agent. Probably will be for a while, but he wasn't the same after he came back after that first one.
Yeah, I mean, both of them. I think J.K. Dobbins feels a little bit more like a lottery ticket. Like, Royce Freeman is just kind of a body, right? Like, he's a guy that's there to add depth or whatever. J.K. Dobbins, you can at least, you know, squint and tell yourself that it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's, if somehow he's healthy, you know, not that he's going to be your, you know, frontline workhorse back, but that maybe he could give you a little bit of something to sort of supplement somewhere. I don't think anybody buys that.
It's a lottery ticket for both sides, I think. Because, like, if you're the Chargers, yeah, there's maybe upside left with J.K. Dobbins. He had it in the past. And if you're J.K. Dobbins, you're going to a team that you know the OC, you know the other running back on the roster, and you know they're going to run the ball a bunch. So it's a good – I thought it was, like, a low-risk signing for both sides. It gives Dobbins a chance to kind of stay in the NFL. And
true.
It's like Moneyball, like. J.K. Dobbins wants to stay in the show, and they want to squeeze every last bit of talent he has left in them. That's what I kind of took it as.
And they really are trying to recreate that Baltimore Ravens, like,
what did I call it yesterday? Ravens West. Like, Ravens West is looking dope.
I mean, like, you know, has anybody checked and seen, like, you know, what is the contract status for Justice Hill? Can he get out and come West too? Like,
complete just, the set.
Right? I mean, let's just run it back with every. Maybe we got Greg Roman, we got Gus Edwards, you got J.K. Dobbins. Like, let's just run it back all the way.
Melvin Gordon. Just bring Melvin Gordon. He was there.
Bring Melvin Gordon. Time is a flat circle, right? You bring back Melvin Gordon where he started his career. You put him, he was a Raven. It all works.
Yeah.
It all works out.
Love it.
So real quick on the Cowboys, like, I know it's easy to be like, you didn't sign. One, they have no cap. They have like $4 million of cap right now. But two, I think Jerry, for the first time maybe ever, is taking a responsible approach. He's like, ooh, Mike McCarthy's on his contract year. Dak's on a contract year. Why am I going to go out and invest in a running back for 4 years when Bill Belichick could be coaching this team next year? Like, I think the Cowboys, if they don't go far this year, are going to look very, very different a year from now.
I mean, they probably are. This doesn't feel like the year to be responsible because, as you mentioned, Dak is in a contract year.
Yeah.
They got to figure out what to do with CeeDee Lamb, right? Like, okay, maybe they don't break the bank at running back, but they're also not, they don't look like they're opening the piggy bank for the guys that have performed for them, the guys that are supposed to be their future. You know, I mean, there's rumblings that CeeDee Lamb might hold out. He might not show up at the start of the year.
Yeah, you need to pay CeeDee.
I'm about to say, CeeDee is number one
priority.
He's
there no matter who is there.
You pay him.
I don't really understand what the Cowboys are doing. And I just think, honestly, if they had kind of kept quiet before the offseason started, I don't think they would be catching as much hell. It was the whole "we're all in" comment.
Well,
Skip Bayless.
A certain someone can't control himself all the time, and likes to get a little, you know, get comments that are going to get attention.
There you go.
Mean the same person who has repeatedly thrown the same Cowboys jersey in the trash for I don't know how many tweets, like that guy.
Well, I was thinking of someone else, but that guy as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was thinking of the guy who originally said "all in."
Oh, that guy. Yeah. That guy. Hazelnut 22 says, bring back Jeremy Hill. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Oh, what a throwback there, man.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam P wants to know, does signing Dobbins cement the Chargers pick for Joe Alt, or are they going to make the play for a wide receiver? I think they sign Alt.
Yeah, I think you just, yeah.
Alt, I think they Alt sign Alt. Lock. I think they go get a wide receiver. That's probably a day two, maybe day three sort of thing for them. Yeah. I don't think, you know, look, I wouldn't be surprised if you, oh, I don't know. Can they trade back and still get Alt is the question.
So. Maybe not Alt, but get, it's a deep O-line class.
Eight linemen probably go in the first. So that'd be close to 2008.
I think they trade back in the first and then and then get some extra cut. I don't think the J.K. Dobbins signing has anything to do with how they're going to attack the draft, but they just keep saying over and over again, the one position that doesn't rely on anyone else is the O-line. And if you could win there, you could win in other spots. So to me, that's kind of telling what they plan on doing.
Yeah. I mean, I say yes and no on the Dobbins signing. I don't think signing J.K. Dobbins means, yep, we're set at running back. Like, we got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, we're ready to roll. Yeah. But I do think it's sort of taken in total with everything that's happened this offseason, right? Hiring Jim Harbaugh, bringing in Greg Roman as your offensive coordinator. Now you get, you know, you sign Gus Edwards, you bring in J.K. Dobbins. Everything in total suggests that they want to build from the offensive line and be more of a run based offense. I mean, it's the reason I'm
tight ends added as well.
It's,
yeah,
right. It's the reason that I'm a little nervous about drafting Justin Herbert this year. It's the reason you're seeing him fall in ADP right now, because everything points to this offense being a little bit more run heavy than it possibly was. Max Slayers wants to know, who do you think lands Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Cardinals?
Yeah,
Cardinals?
I was looking for a Cardinals thing. There's none here. I think that's a slam dunk pick to the Cardinals. Yeah,
Cardinals.
I mean, again, what we talked about Peter Schrager's mock draft where he had them trading down with the Giants and taking Malik Nabers at six. And so then that meant Harrison went to the Harrison going to the Chargers, right?
In the mock draft. Interesting. Get your all-around guy.
That sort of throws cold water on our Joe Alt conversation.
Yeah, it does, but it just makes it interesting.
if Harrison is there, I could maybe see them being like, maybe we do take a wide receiver, but depends what happens at four. But my thinking continues to be like, the Cardinals, I believe at least, are closer to being a competitive team than, I mean, last year, yeah, they were terrible, but Kyler Murray didn't come back till week 10. Like, what did you expect?
And he played okay.
Yeah, and he played okay with Marquise Brown being out, with Michael Wilson being out. He was throwing to guys our size. Like, I think you give him Marvin Harrison Jr. and you could easily be like, remember what he was when he had DeAndre Hopkins there? Mm-hmm. This guy might be even better than that. Yeah. So let's see what we can do here.
Yeah, it's so funny too, because, you know, remember at the start of the year, it was all this talk of like, do they even play Kyler Murray? Do the Cardinals tank and, like, you know, make a play for Caleb Williams? And then, like, Kyler comes back and you're like, no, man, why was that even a conversation? Like, why did we even think about that? Like, Kyler still can play.
I was in that thing. I love Kyler. My thinking was like, if you're like 1-9 after 10 weeks, why bring him back?
That too, yeah.
They were also feistier, I think, last year than people anticipated.
It's like, we love Kyler, but I'm not even quite sure the organization loves Kyler. So he's one of my little, like, hot takes of, like, he might be traded draft night. Like, honestly,
but it's also because, we'll see. Kyler, you know, on any given day might just unfollow everybody in the organization.
Yeah,
right?
Leave his Instagram blank again. Like,
you know, it's just like, it just might happen. Like, and it may not mean anything. He might just be, you know, annoyed on a certain day. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean he wants out. He just might Internet be like a little emotional. Bit irritated. So he just unfollows people and then he follows them back in again and everything's all good at this point. Last couple minutes before we get out of here. And again, thanks everybody who kind of stuck with us. We came in a little bit later than we anticipated. Yeah. And obviously, you can go check out the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, which is out. So be sure to go check that out as well. We talked about running backs and tight ends in the most recent episode. And as I mentioned, the draft is coming very, very, very quickly. This Matthew Stafford locked in thing, it airs tonight.
Yeah,
starts tonight.
I'm
looking at you, Laquan, because I can see the smile on your face. I'm assuming you have told the kids to don't bother me for the next little while. Like, get your own dinner, figure it out for a little bit. Like, I'm sure you are locked in as Matthew Stafford right now.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Like, the moment I seen the trailer, I was just like, oh, this is well done. Like, this is going to be awesome. Like, get the deep depth look at Stafford and get a little bit more of his personality. Like, man, this I'm locked in tonight. Put it like that.
I should probably give... I own a Matthew Stafford Lions jersey. If you, like, Stafford was my favorite. Look, until Josh Allen, the Bills never had a good quarterback, so I always had to go outside. And Stafford was, I was always like, put this guy on a better team than the Lions. Yeah. And him and Calvin Johnson were my favorite quarterback wide receiver combo ever. But now you take the mantle as the biggest Stafford fan. I might have to.
I'll go to bat for Stafford for fantasy real life, no matter what.
You weren't rocking a JP Losman jersey.
You know who was my guy? Trent Edwards. I had high hopes for him, but it didn't work out.
I'm not gonna lie. So I apropos of nothing, I remember watching JP Losman in high school, from LA, went to Venice High. I remember watching him in a game, and it was like, you could tell like he was way more talented than the players around him. There were multiple reasons. I don't think he worked out on the NFL level, but like at high school, you're like, yeah, this dude could actually be something. Never quite translated above the
high
school.
We all have those players and stories, man.
Yeah, I'm sure like there's a
Trey Mason is mine.
Oh, Trey Mason. But you know, his dad made good music, man.
Oh, he did.
Shout out to his dad. Amazing music. That's all I got for you on that.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, not all of our quarterbacks can save people from coyotes. So.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
yes. Brock Purdy, wild game manager. Brock Purdy out here apparently saving reporters from coyote attacks.
He's part of the Avengers now.
Apparently, or he's just going to be part of the, you know, working for a county animal control whenever his football career is over.
A coyote yet?
No, but I always get the Ring notifications, like coyote walking in the middle of the street or something.
I was shook the first time I saw one. I was in my car and it just it walked and stopped in front of me and looked, and I was just in the car like, that thing could eat me if it wanted to.
Right.
And
that's why it didn't run. It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He's what looking for the smoke. In the Northeast, we'll get like raccoons and like
raccoons. Oh,
and
my God.
Stuff like that. But stuff that can eat us? Yeah. No, not,
we get
not really. I mean,
we get raccoons here too. Also, like, you know, if you live maybe further north of where we are, you get up toward the mountains, you know, Pasadena, Glendale, up that way. You know, bears come down out of the mountains every so often.
Yeah, I'm good.
And every so often you see stories on the news in Los Angeles of like a bear that came down in the summer and was like chilling in somebody's pool because it was like way too hot, stuff like that. So you know,
I'll stay south.
I have a couple friends.
This is a big city, but we do have wildlife here in Los Angeles.
I have a couple friends who live up in the valley, and when they walk their dogs, they bring like weaponry with them because you never know what you're gonna run into.
I mean. Especially if you have a small dog, like they will warn you. Like if you have small dogs, at some point, like you have to make sure you bring them in because coyotes will come and, you know, take away your small pets.
This is how crazy I am. I've yet to encounter one like just walking, but I am always like when I'm with Callie, that's my dog. I'm always like, if a coyote came from this way, like I'm always ready for just it, ready. Just in case. I'm like, I need to defend this dog and get this coyote.
The
out
anxiety
of here.
Just to walk your dog is crazy.
Well, apparently, if you are Brock Purdy, you are ready for coyote attacks. So shout out to Brock Purdy for saving the life of a reporter from a coyote. Look, man, I mean, what can he not do, right? I mean, he's the last pick in the draft. He stops wild animal attacks. He takes teams to the Super Bowl. Apparently, he can't beat Patrick Mahomes, but that's a long list. There's a long list of people who fall under that category. So,
two people have beaten him: Tom Brady and Lou Anarumo.
Right, I was like one of them is retired. So, you know.
Bengals fans are like, it was Joe Burrow. No, it was your defense that beat Mahomes.
It was a defense that beat Mahomes in that one, for sure, for sure. Anyway, that's a good time for us to kind of pause for this one. We'll be back next week, right? We'll try to do one a little bit earlier before on draft day. We can kind of preview the draft, right? That sounds fair?
That'd be awesome.
All right, cool.
And maybe something else.
Maybe something else. Maybe something else. So we'll be back, though, of course, for the podcast next week. A little bit of a sneak preview. We are scheduled. Very excited. Matt Harmon will be stopping by the podcast next week. We'll talk some wide receivers with Mr. Reception Perception himself. So be sure to tune in for that in the meantime. Hit the like button. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast as well. We appreciate you hanging out with us, as you always do. For Michael LaFlorio, for Laquan Jones, I'm Marcus Grant. It's been the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. Enjoy the weekend, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.